games. This ain't playing games, son. This is VR. VR, man. You don't play a game. You are the game. You're experiencing. That's what the R in VR is. You are there.
VR is a way to escape the real world into something more fantastic, and it is only restricted by your imagination. The incredible thing about the technology is that you feel like you're actually present in another place, sometimes with others. People who try it say it's different from anything they've experienced in their lives, and that's why I'm here. This is We Are VR, a podcast documenting mine and many others' blind journey into the many worlds and experiences that make virtual reality. Now let's go. Hi everyone, I'm your host, Deej Penhollow, and I'm going to start this podcast off with a little bit of history on virtual reality. But before I get to that, I want to tell you exactly why I'm here. For years and years, I had been interested in virtual reality. I had looked up videos on VR and I was captivated by them. However, I was vastly unaware of what that experience might be like. Until 2020, where I decided to finally get an Oculus platform system. I had zero idea what I was getting myself into. I didn't know if I could handle it. I didn't know anything like that. And I'm here to tell you guys about that experience by talking about all of the games that I got my hands on since February of 2020. What a perfect time to be into VR for the first time while everybody was quarantined due to the COVID-19 virus. It's been an experience, I'll tell you that. And I will talk about that. But before I do that, like I said before, I want to give everybody a history on how VR came to be, because it's super interesting to me, and I figured that maybe all you guys might be interested too. We'll go from there. So let's get into it. Today's virtual reality technologies build upon the ideas that date back to the 1800s, almost to the very beginning of practical photography. In 1838, the first stereoscope was invented, using twin mirrors to project a single image that eventually developed into the ViewMaster that was patented in 1939 and still produced today. Use of the term virtual reality, however, was first used in the mid-1980s when Jaron Lanier, founder of VPL Research, began to develop the gear, including goggles and gloves, needed to experience what he called virtual reality. Even before that, however, technologists were developing simulated environments. One milestone was the Sensorama, invented in 1956. Morton Helig's background was in the Hollywood motion picture industry. He wanted to see how people could feel like they were in the movie, quote-unquote. The Sensorama experience simulated a real city environment which you rode through on a motorcycle. Multisensory stimulation let you see the road, hear the engine, feel the vibration, smell the motor's exhaust in the designed world. Helig also patented the head-mounted display device called the Telesphere Mask in 1960. Many inventors would build upon his foundational work. By 1965, another inventor, Ivan Sutherland, offered the ultimate display, quote-unquote, a head-mounted device that he would suggested would serve as a window into the virtual world. The 1970s and 1980s were a heady time in the field. Optical advances ran parallel to the projects that worked on the haptic devices and other instruments that would allow you to move around in virtual space. At NASA, Ames Research Center, in the 1980s, for example, the Virtual Interface Environment Workstation, or VIEW, system combined a head-mounted device with gloves to enable haptic interaction. Today's current virtual reality gear owes a debt of gratitude to the pioneering investors of the past six decades who paved their way for low-cost, high-quality devices which are easily accessible. Be sure to visit the VR flight simulators at the Franklin Institute to experience a virtual environment for yourself, or for the price of $400 to $500, you can purchase an Oculus device from your local electronics store. They're really, really cool, and that's why we're here today. I'm going to talk to you about my journey through the world of Oculus via the Oculus Quest. It is a system that I purchased at my local Walmart for about $450, give or take. I also bought one for my wife. She got the higher one, so it's about $500. And by higher, I mean higher storage. However, I have yet to run into a problem with storage on the lower tier 64 gigabyte device. And I have tons and tons of games, and they are very, very fun. And I'm going to tell you about that experience. What you are hearing right now is what happens when you first sync your Oculus Quest up and put it on your face, turn it on, get everything logged in. You're greeted by this music, and the visuals that you see here are astounding. For a first-time user like me, I had zero idea how to handle what I was seeing. It was opening up a vast world, light show, whales, freaking subway cars. I can't even describe to you what I was seeing. And then you get greeted by the Oculus logo in a robotic voice.
Welcome to Oculus. After this tutorial, you'll be ready to explore.
The crazy thing was that at this point I was so mind blown and overwhelmed that I didn't even know what to do. But I went ahead with the tutorial, and before I knew it, I was in VR and I was doing stuff, and it was super easy. And this thing blew my mind. I played with it forever and ever and ever. I was stacking blocks, shooting rockets, controlling drones, doing all this stuff, and I was absolutely mind blown. I did this for 2 hours before I decided to complete the tutorial and move on. But after a little while of playing this and doing your little thing, you end up being able to play a gun game and you do some dancing with a robot, and it just looked beautiful. The whole thing was absolutely beautiful. And it wasn't long after that I decided to go to my home environment, and my home environment was this quaint little area, like under a dome in the mountains, and it was blew my mind. There was a fire going on. There was lots of stuff happening. Basically, what I did was just look around for a while. I familiarized myself with the virtual world. And then I decided to hop into one of the demos that came with the game, and that was Beat Saber. I tried Beat Saber for the first time, and it was awesome. Beat Saber was so cool. It's exactly what you think it is. And if those who don't know what Beat Saber is, if you lived under a rock for the last few years, basically it's Guitar Hero, but you have lightsabers, and there's boxes that come at you, and you slice those boxes in whatever sequential order the boxes tell you to slice them, whether it's left, right, or there's a box that has just a dot that you just slice it however you want to, and that's it. You do that to the beat of the song and you move on. It's really fun, it's very active, and it's just super cool to be slicing boxes with lightsabers. If you haven't gotten a chance to try Beat Saber, I highly recommend it. If you know a friend that has it, definitely check it out. But the VR experience itself is not a bad one. This one, you can stand in one spot and you are in an environment. Now, initially when I was starting VR, anything that made me feel like I was on an edge, like looking over into a void, was just crazy. And it was super uncomfortable for me, and I just didn't like it. So I was very, very hesitant to move forward with a few experiences. Now, Beat Saber's not typically one of those. However, sometimes it does feel like you're standing on the edge looking down into nothing and things are flying at you. So definitely ease yourself into it. I wouldn't go straight into expert mode, but it's definitely really cool. There are little feet marks on the ground. You can stand your feet right where they need to go, and you can just go for it. And you'll get used to it after a while. And then Beat Saber quickly became one of my favorite go-to games. I played it all the time, but you know, I had a lot of free demos on there, and I tried a lot on my first night, but this one was a fun one. The next thing I got to try was something that came standard on the Oculus Quest, and that was a game called Vader Immortal. This is like a Star Wars nerd's wet dream, and I mean that in the most literal sense. If you like Star Wars and you have been a fan of the series since the 80s or since the early 2000s when the prequels came out, whatever it may be, this game is totally for you to try, and I recommend it so much. It was one of the coolest things that I've ever done. However, with this game came my very first ever uncomfortable experience in VR. And when I say uncomfortable experience, I mean I fell down and hit my living room floor with the console on my head, because what I was experiencing felt so real and it looked so good that it just made me fall over. And I'm going to talk about that here in a second, but I just wanted to finish my thoughts on Beat Saber. The system itself comes with a demo and you can purchase the game. It's $30. And I purchased it that same day. I just bought that game right away because I knew I would be going back to it. When you buy it, you can get Green Day, you can get Imagine Dragons, you can get a whole bunch of stuff on there, and it's really fun. But yeah, that's definitely how I did that for that. Let's go ahead and talk about Vader Immortal now. Vader Immortal is a tale where you're like in the Star Wars universe, and I mean like in it. You're there. And I had no idea what to expect in this, but like I said, I was pretty uncomfortable with heights and various things in VR. And I mean, I'm telling you, I started this game within the first hour of having a VR headset, and I can't tell you that that was the smartest thing. I wish I could, because it's super fun. But if you're unfamiliar with VR like I was, this might not be an experience you want to just jump right into. But I did, and I don't necessarily regret it, but I wish that I maybe would have waited until I was in VR for a lot longer and had a few more weeks of experiencing what it's actually like, because it can kind of be a little jarring if you don't like know what's going on. It can be weird because it feels real. It feels like if you're looking over the edge of something that you're actually there. Like, it's very hard for me to be taken out of something like that, but I wasn't taken out of the experience, and I felt like I was there. So the game opens up with you on like a ship, and you've got to do a couple little tasks or whatever, but like you're flying through space, you know what I mean? And within 3 minutes you're in hyperdrive and you're going, and then you show up over a planet, and you know, you look above you, look to the sides of you, and that's, you're in outer space. Like, that's, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's where you're at. And there's a little droid talking to you. If you look above you, there's a freaking Star Destroyer that flies over your head. You're overlooking the planet Mustafar. That's Darth Vader's planet that you're overlooking. It feels like you're going in. And then you have to go, and the game makes you land in there. And it's incredibly realistic in terms of like looks and sounds and stuff like that. Obviously, you're stationary, standing in one spot, but doesn't necessarily take away from the experience. I'm sure it would have been all the more jarring if it like felt like I was moving around and stuff. But regardless, you're going down the planet and you get captured by some of Vader's men, yada yada yada. And anyway, the next part of the experience that I want to talk about is you're in the ship, and like the blast doors like get exploded open. And then you're confronted by a stormtrooper and a man, and the stormtrooper literally runs right up to you. And like, if I had to describe it in real reality, he was like, a foot away from me, and he had a gun pointed at me, and I'm like, oh, holy moly, like this guy is enormous. And he wasn't bigger than life. He was. It felt like it was a real stormtrooper sitting in front of me, and he looked really good and whatever. And then he shoots my droid, and my droid falls over, and I'm like, oh my god. And then they take me into a prison cell, and the prison cell was dark and dingy and whatever. And he's like, you know, wait here until Darth Vader shows up. And I'm like, you know, crapping my pants, because Darth Vader's like one of the most menacing villains of all time. And I've always been menaced and felt uncomfortable by Vader's presence, even in the movies. But You know, I was about to see Darth Vader, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And now, mind you, I'm like an hour and 30 minutes into virtual reality for the first time in my life. And I'm about to be confronted by Darth Vader, so I'm shaking in my space boots, no pun intended. Anyway, the door opens up, and Darth Vader's silhouette is there, and he comes walking toward me, and I have to say, what an experience that was to see Darth Vader approaching you. And he is absolutely enormous. And I don't mean like towering above buildings. Like, Darth Vader is just a big dude. Like, I'm convinced that like the guy who played him in the movies had to be as big as The Rock. Like, I know we don't really see the person who played Vader under the suit, but Vader is huge. And he stands in front of you, and he basically says, "Do this for me, or I'll kill you." And you're, I mean, obviously you're going to do it, because it's part of the game, but still, like, you're like, oh, okay, I'll do it for you, because you're Darth Vader, and you'll probably kill me, and it feels real. So you do what he wants, and then he walks away, and he says, "If you do this, I will spare you." So, obviously, you're going to do it. It's Darth Vader. And he walks away, and then you continue to go through the game. Now, the rest of the game is super fun. Super crazy. You're climbing up ladders, you're doing whatever. Oh yeah, that's another thing. You actually climb up a ladder. You physically move your hands to climb up a ladder. And this is the first time I was like, oh my god, like, I don't know what I'm doing in VR right now. I'm literally climbing a ladder in the middle of my living room at home, and this feels too real. So that's fine and dandy. That was my first uncomfortable experience in this game. I had no idea how to handle it, but it is what it is. I got up there, I went through the game, and then I walked into what I can only describe to you as like a cathedral, like a big, huge room. And there was doors that overlooked the planet with giant windows. And basically what you're doing is you're following this little droid through Vader's castle. So I walk out onto the ledge, because that's where the story wants you to go. The droid says, follow me. So you go out there, and I know this had to be a trope of the game itself, but the droid looks behind her and looks at you and says, wow, that's a long way down there. And then she looks over the edge. Now I was like, should I look over that edge? Maybe I shouldn't, because I'm pretty sure it's gonna scare the crap out of me. And I was right. I totally looked over the edge, and it did. It scared the daylights out of me, and I was like, oh my Lanta, I am literally strapped to the edge of the wall, and I froze for a second and was like, well, I'm just gonna try to keep to the, you know, I'm gonna hug the wall, I'm gonna try to get to where I need to go to get this experience done and over with, because I was shaking. Anyway, we get to the next part, and the droid's like, oh, you gotta climb up this pipe. And I'm like, pipe? Okay, well, all right, sounds good. So much like I did the ladder, I'm climbing a pipe. There I am, climbing up, hand over hand, breathing, trying to keep myself all cool and whatever. And then when I get to the top, she goes, give me your hand. And I reach my hand out, and the pipe decides to break. Well, that, my friends and listeners, is the first time that I literally freaked out. I screamed, and I fell. My character fell in the game, and it fell off the side of Vader's castle, which in turn made me lose my balance, and I fell onto my living room floor with a great big thud. At that point in time, I decided, nope, this game isn't for me, and I'm about to turn it off. And I did. I sat down and turned it off. Sequentially, I decided to text all of my Star Wars friends and everybody that I possibly knew to talk about how insane that game is, and what I just experienced felt completely real. Like, you know how you get that weird feeling, like when you go on a long trip and then you come home and it just feels different because you just were on a long trip and home feels weird and it doesn't feel right again until you go to sleep and then wake back up because, like, you know, you need to have that memory in your memory bank? Yeah, that's what this felt like. I felt like I had just come back from outer space and was sitting back in my living room in an instantaneous moment, and I'm all for teleportation and time travel, but this was just mind-bending. Like, I talked about this game for days. I still talk about this game. Here I am in August of 2020, and I played this game months and months ago. I finished it. It's fantastic the whole way through. I'm not going to go into detail about what else happens. Get your own copy. It's great. Totally worth every minute of playtime. And I hear that they're having another Star Wars game come out, and I am on freaking board, man. That is banging. That is a fun experience to be in that world. Also, I should mention that there is this thing called the Lightsaber Dojo. Holy moly, is that fun. You are in that cathedral room that I talked about. That's where you're at. You're in this big cathedral room, and there's a podium in front of you, and you get to grab a lightsaber. And the first time I saw this, I was like, wow. Absolutely insane. I'm looking and holding a lightsaber in my hand. I have leather gloves on. If you put your hand up to, in the Oculus world, you can like flex your hand. If you like put your hand up to your ear in like your headset, I guess, whatever you want to call it, and you flex your hand, you can hear the leather like make that leather noise. You know what I'm talking about? Crazy. You can hear it in both your left and right ear, no matter what you're doing. Like, that's insane. That is some crazy detail that like they added to for the immersion. Anyway, next thing you know, you're fighting battle drones and things like that, training like a Jedi in your freaking living room, man. That's insanity. How can you possibly beat that kind of experience? You can't. Like, you can't do it unless you actually had a lightsaber in your hand for weight. Like, that would have been the only thing that I was like, oh man, like, I just have a controller in my hand and I know, you know what I mean? Like, I tried not to think about that kind of stuff because I don't want to be like taken out of the game or whatever, but like, those are the types of things that they can add to the experience, and like, super cool, man. Super, super cool. But yeah, like, there's three parts to Vader Immortal, and like, part one has like lightsaber dojo number one, and then two has like a, you know, it's a up level, like you do them in each game and you get better and better. But you get to the third one, holy smokes, like you can like throw your lightsaber, you can have double lightsabers, you can shoot guns, you can use the force. That is so cool. You can use the force and take a stormtrooper and throw them across the map, man. That is nuts. That is a Star Wars nerd's wet dream, and I mean that in the most sincere way. Like, totally cool. That was my first experience in virtual reality, and I was hooked immediately. I know I said that I didn't want to play it anymore, but you can't not go back to something like that. Plus, I spent $499, or $399 rather, on this Oculus Quest, and I had to just, you know, keep going. And for the next 3 or 4 or 5 months before I moved into my new house, all I did was play VR every chance I got. And that's why I'm here in this podcast, to tell you guys about each game and how I experienced each one. And I tell you what, I purchased as many as I could. And there's a thing that Oculus lets you do called returns. I guess everywhere lets you do that. But you can return a game if you've played less than 2 hours of the game. So you can try out something and then you can return it. And like a couple days later, you get your money back. So like, I had some money to work with. So I was like, okay, cool. I'm just going to buy whatever I want to. And if the experience is uncomfortable or something, or just a dumb game, which they have plenty of those, you can return it and you can get your money back and you can use that money to try another game. It's really cool, but just don't play it for longer than 2 hours, because I found out the hard way that they do not let you return it after that. So if you buy a game that you think you aren't going to play that much, definitely consider returning it and then going back to it later if you want to. Like, try it, play it for 30 minutes as much as possible, get as far into it as you can, and go from there. But that's definitely something that I've done. Now, you can get other games, like we'll talk about this later, but I was able to play Arkham VR, which is like a Batman experience. And that whole entire game isn't longer than like an hour and a half, so you can buy it, play it, and straight up return it, and that's really cool. That's a cool thing to do, and we'll talk about that on another episode. But for now, I'm gonna let you guys go, and please come back and listen to some more stuff. I've been trying to get this podcast out for months now that I got my setup going. It's good to go. So I'm going to be updating people on TikTok, that provided that it doesn't get banned in the United States. And I will be putting stuff out somehow. You can subscribe to this literally anywhere that you can get podcasts. So there we go. There we have it. First episode in the books. We'll see you guys later. Thanks.